is, yeah, I got them, but am I being recorded yet? I got them, but there's a problem with them. The funny problem. They're the alligator clips, and when they let go, it's catastrophic. If I had buttons, that would be better. So I don't have those, and I wore them the other day, and they let go, and it scared me. So everybody, all right. But it's good to see Mark chapter 9, and Riley, I've got some slides back there if you'll get those punched up there. I want to talk to us a little bit tonight. Mark chapter 9, verse 35, the Bible says, "And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. This last shall be first, and the first shall be last." He says, if you want to do this, I want you to be a servant. I want to help us tonight. What does it mean here to do this? And what's it going to mean going forward? And it's one of the things I want recorded. And I know we've got a lot of folks going to watch this, and a lot of folks listen to it, a lot of folks watch this morning. And so I want to encourage us. We're at a great point in our church, and I want to kind of lay this out here a little bit and help us, because this is just not how the world thinks. This is not at all how the world thinks. Would you pray with me one last time? Father, help me to preach your word, and I pray that you'd be honored and glorified this evening. Thank you for those who came out tonight. I pray you'd help them. I pray that you'd be with those, Lord. We had so many had to work this afternoon, and so I pray for them, and be with us right now and help us this evening. Father, we need you tonight, and I pray that you would use us in a real, you would use this time to help us and help us to make sure we're on the same page, Lord. Father, we need you, and I pray that you be with us. Help me, Lord. Help me not to be thinking about what I got to do later on. Just focus on the moment. I pray you guide my thoughts like a laser. I'd be faithful to the text, and Spirit of God, you'd use me and fill me. I pray in Christ's name, and amen. Amen. I'm talking about preferences tonight. I'm talking about church here, and I want to help us. I was joking this morning, and somebody asked Riley if it really did happen. And it really did happen last night. Riley, bring the clicker when you come out, please. But it really did happen, and I fell asleep in a chair. Anybody fell asleep in a chair or a couch? Anybody besides me? And I just gone last night, and so you know, middle of the night, I hear boom, 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 boom. I figure it's Andre. So I'm being real silly, and I'm going, "Hey, baby." And, you know, "What you doing?" And I thought she's coming down. I don't know what it was. And I hear awkward pause, and I hear Riley go, "It's me, Dad." And I'm thirsty. He said he went back upstairs, you know, and he couldn't go to sleep. And I chuckled at that. But it is funny. It is funny sometimes how we get things kind of off kilter and off track and all. And so we do that. Would you go get my clicker, please, Andre? And we get things off kilter here. I want to talk about this. We want to talk about misunderstanding where we are and what we are, and making sure that we're zeroed in here. I say to you that, like, some kids are immature and they're not trained, can be selfish. They can be demanding. Don't you pity parents whose kids decide to show out and show off when they're around other people? Anybody besides me ever had that happen? And you want to help the parents, and if you're not real careful, you want to whip the parents and instead of the children. Just the same way that is, sometimes in a church, you can get that too. People can behave in the same ways, if not worse. Immaturity and selfishness are just deadly in a church. They're deadly if you're really selfish and you become apathetic. And you just figure everything's going to go on. Figure the building will open, the building will close, the bills will be paid, people will be visited. You know, if you're not real careful, you get in a little bubble. Let me give you a timeout. By the way, when people are hurt, when they're going through tough times, that's a natural thing that some other things fall off. I got that. I get that. I sure understand that. I'm just talking about that this is all it is, and I come, and I receive, and then I scoot. Again, I expect that, by the way, out of lost people. I don't expect anything more than that at Lost People. But folks who say they know Christ have to be very careful. I suggest to you, again, I look back over some notes I had from a few years ago. First Baptist of Concord commissioned a survey from the Lifeway Research people. And they did the area in 2013. They published it in 2014. I think the numbers are still pretty good. But they talked about the thousands of churches, the hundreds and hundreds of churches in this area. And they said of those churches, the average church size was 27. They said of the average church size, the average church size 27, and that the average church attendance for the Farragut coming this way area was any given Sunday, 82% of people attended no house of worship anywhere. I think that number can't be right, but even if you take it off by 20, 62%, no house of worship anywhere. Now, I've lived here 3 years, 3.5 years. I kind of believe it now. If you go around. And so part of that is that we've not been evangelistic. Nod your head if you understand. We've not been inviting and giving people the gospel. And then another part of that is that people just, they get stuck. They get stuck somewhere. They get stuck on something. Or there's a sinful habit or behavior and they get knocked out for some reason. And so if we're not real careful. So I want us to go back to True North tonight. And True North is to be a servant. True North is to be a servant. Let me give you the motif, and these are just some great things here. The word servant occurs about 57 times in the New Testament. 57 times in the New Testament. Serve occurs 58 times. Jesus, verse 35, he sat down, that is, Christ calls the 12 apostles and says to them, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Jesus said, this is what you should desire. You should desire to serve. Desire to serve. I jokingly talk about, paper in the church. Forgive me. Paper in the church. The loneliest thing in a Baptist church, Free Will Baptist Church, Independent Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Church, Church of Christ. I don't care. What label you put on the door is a sign-up list. Unless you're going to a theme park, that thing is lonely. We need people to clean the church and people start looking at the ground and playing with their shoes. Amen. We need somebody to do this. We need somebody to go visit people who are cranky. I'm not doing that. We're there. And we think about serving sometimes, and we're kind of stuck, aren't we? Anybody besides me, that way, and you kind of giggle and you kind of laugh about this kind of thing because we want to be served, right? We want to be served. We don't even ask the right question, do we? You come to church, you go home, you have a dinner, you meet somebody at a restaurant, and you say, "How did you what? Enjoy the service?" Not many conversations go, "Hey, how did you serve today?" Right? We don't say that. I make a big deal when somebody serves, not to take away their reward, but I make a big deal because I think it is a big deal, because the Bible says it's a big deal. We had our three ladies that served on Friday and served the family, and we had other folks who'd done some things during the week. We got folks who, that is service to me. It is service to me. Jason and Crystal come, and Jason was trying to eat all of Gladys's food the other week, and serving, there are so many things. Some of us don't have any clue how our band ministry runs now, and it's that guy sitting in the back there. Brother Gatsby, he's done so much to make sure that ministry continues on. That is service here. We must serve. Jesus said we were to be a servant of all. Be a servant of all. To all. Well, we were doing something this past week, and I looked at Andre, and I said, we're just doing this for Jesus. This isn't going to turn out well. You ever been there? You're doing something, you're like, this is no good. This is not, but we're going to just do it for Jesus. We're going to do it for Jesus. Anybody besides a preacher ever been there? And you get that attitude in your head, you want to do this. We're to serve all. Paul said the same thing, by the way. Paul said it. Jesus said it. Paul said it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, a servant, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Every now and then I get stuck on success. You think as old as I am, geezer age, not quite, geezer age. But I am. Every now and then I'm going, I just knew we'd be running 150 by now. If my wife would write better sermons, we'd be running 150. And I'd say that to you, this crowd. I shouldn't say it on the tape, should I? We'd be running 150. All these people, all the folks we had come through here last year, where are we? And Let's reorient a little bit. How are we doing serving? How am I doing serving? How are you doing? How are we doing serving? That's what Jesus said he wants to do. So in light of that, I want to make sure, I want to use just a couple of tent pegs here, a few tent pegs here, and make sure that we're all on the same page. And I want to record it because we go for it. Here's a neat thing God's done, and we have by far, different people 3.5 years now than we did 3.5 years ago. By far, different levels of spiritual growth, different levels. We have as many unchurched, unsaved, not by my guess, but by their words, attending as we've had regularly in any of the space of time. We have other folks who come sporadically with great big spiritual needs, and then we have folks who are just steadily growing. We really have all sorts and shapes and sizes. The age of the church has gone down, etc. We're at that point. We're at a point really, and I want to preach this tonight. We're at a point really where a lot of churches, they grind a little bit because the folks that have been a while say, well, I don't like all those new people. And new people go, well, you know, why are they unfriendly? Why are they not nice? And you're not real careful here about some things. Sometimes you'll have a vacuum and somebody will be real strong about things. Or, again, temptation is, well, you know, it's what we pay the preacher for. It's what we pay this for. And instead of ministry being about me serving, ministry becomes about him serving or her serving. You know, nod your head if you're with me. So I think we're at a good point to make sure, hey, what does the Bible say? And what's some things we ought to guard against? And make sure as we continue to go forward. Can you go forward? Because that's what we want to do, right? We want to continue reaching people, continue mentoring, discipling people. And seeing them come to Christ and grow in grace. And by the way, when somebody comes to Christ and grows in grace, their life ought to change. Their life ought to change. That is the ever-present witness of Scripture. Somebody comes to Christ, makes a profession of faith. The reality of that is that God changes their life. They begin to grow in grace. And so, want to continue to see that. So here we are. And you can, and I'll post these for you. These are from a nationwide survey, but I think they're helpful. What do we need to guard against? So here's 10 of them. In a declining church, in a church that's struggling, here are 10 patterns, 10 behaviors. Not all of them fit us. Hopefully, God help us. None of them fit us real well. but here they are, and I want to help you with them. The first one is this. They call it the worship wars. They call it the worship wars. Now, God's been real good to us here. Amen. In one sense, because we have so many folks don't know any songs. They don't know if it came off the radio. They don't know if it's an old song. I say it's an old song. Everybody just kind of grunts at me. I don't know if it's an old song or not. A few Southern gospel people, a few contemporary people, and all these kind of things. And it's kind of hysterical. Kind of hysterical because we keep going, well, what's a song we can sing? We figured out. Nobody knows anything. We're just teaching them to them. That's why we'll sing them, you know, over and over. Now, by the way, I take that any day of the week, amen, teaching people new songs because they're new to them and introducing them and telling them where they can listen to good music and all. That's a wonderful praise the Lord kind of thing. And so we're there. But we got to be real careful. Got to be careful. I get a lot. I ain't got any in the last couple of weeks. That's not true. I actually have. Guy will call and he'll say, "Preach," or Brother Rodney, or Mr. Holloman, depending on where they knew me from. And they'll say, blah, 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 and it's about the worship war. I'm trying to have everybody stand and read the Bible. I got people who don't like that. And we've got this beautiful Getty song, you know, it's really pretty. And because it ain't out of the Redback hymn book, they don't like it. Whatever. What am I going to do? I was like, well, you know, just set the church on fire. I don't tell them that. And I say, over-explain everything. I said, just let everybody be a little miserable. Amen? Because if one group goes home real happy, I got news for you. There's a whole lot went home really unhappy. So just let everybody be a little miserable. Let everybody be a little miserable. A little miserable. Some of our teenagers and our college students say, "Brother Rod, why don't you sing this song?" And I go, "Well, I don't know it. I don't know it. And well, let me send it to you. They send it to me, and it's good, but it ain't me. And I'll tell Andre, can we find a watered down version of that song? And I say it with a smile on my face. And sometimes we do find something, and it's beautiful and honest, and we do it because it's all of us. Now let me help you. But worship isn't anywhere near horizontal. Worship is to be vertical. If you're just shopping for what you like, then again, I just suggest you sit at home and flip the channels because you can find that. But that's not a church either. It's not a church either. So we got to be real. We're going to be careful. We're going to push on, but we're just not doing this. We're just not doing this. Not doing this. We're not trying to be dead. We're not trying to be dull. We're trying to be doctrinally correct. We're trying to be loving in what we do. And I say that with a smile on my face, not a smirk. Everybody go home a little miserable. You know, if you're just a little miserable. Today was perfect thing. It was unbelievably too hot in here for most of the crowd. So how do you know? They were gone. I was preaching to a bunch of bobbleheads, you know, drinking those red birds, drinking the thing. And bless their ever-loving heart. But every time I talk about it being too warm, all the people on blood thinners go, there's that fat preacher. Being hot again. And so I just struggled through it, and I kept getting louder and louder and snapping and clapping, trying to desperately keep people awake. And as people lied to me as they left, said that was a great sermon, and I wanted to look at them and say, you didn't hear anything I said because you were asleep. And that's okay because it ain't about me. It ain't about me. It's about him. About him. We're going to be careful. We're going to be careful here. We're not going to do things that don't matter. All this stuff about meetings and stuff like that. And we probably need to have a few more than we do, and I've been served in places, but we're going to move the agenda. We're going to have a great big meeting at the end of the month, stewardship night. We're going to talk about, we're going to thank God for 2017, and we're going to keep roaring into 2018. We're going to keep serving. We're going to keep evangelizing. We're going to keep trying to disciple. We're starting our small groups. We're going to get together. We're going to have Sunday school things. We're going to keep reaching kids. We're going to do those kind of things. And we're just going to move forward. And we're going to do things with excellence. And we're going to do things with transparency. And we're not inviting the devil into any of those kind of things here. But we don't need 15 meetings to figure out we need to invite people to know Christ. And we're not voting on whether we're doing things first class either, because we're going to do things in a spirit of excellence. We're going to do things to honor and glorify Him. So we're going to do those things. A lot of churches, man, they get stuck right here. They get stuck. They get completely stuck. Their churches, man, vote on a pastor. You know, they have vote of confidence every 6 months or every year. That's a tough way to live. I know guys who still go through that. He'll go through that, depending on what everybody's feeling, you know, and he's got to get 75, you know, 80%. That's just, man, let the call be the call. And I don't want to get there. Probably, when everything, by the way, in this kind of church, the Great Commission and Great Commandment are rarely topics of discussion. There's a church not real far from here. They wanted to have a Facebook page. Those of you not on social media, it's a free thing, and then it's like your own web page, except it's Facebook's version. You got a lot of control over it, and you can buy ads and stuff like that, and we've done that. We've had anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 people look at our stuff when we have an event for about $200. That is ridiculous return on advertising. And it's helpful, and it's kind of a lot of people live, they got on their phones or tablets, and it's just a nice thing. And they wanted to do this, and their board voted it down, even though it didn't cost them anything. And they said, nobody's interested in internet. That didn't happen 10 years ago. That happened 18 months ago. I can take you where it is. And they voted on it. And so the youth guy in rebellion to the church leadership did one anyway, because he figured they wouldn't find out. So he sinned to do something for God. I haven't worked it out in my head yet. And when you're not talking about Great Commission, when you look at people and go, man, they're going to dirty up the walls, or we're going to use more toilet paper, we've got more people here, or they might break something. And, you know, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. A building that's used is a building that's going to be abused, isn't it? And repair comes with use, right? Repair comes with use. I go to a hotel and they're remodeling things because they've had a lot of business, a lot of business. Number three, they're focused too entirely much on the facilities, on the facilities. Or flip it around, they're not focused on the facilities like they ought to be. We call ours, I really work hard to try and call this a campus. Say, why do you call it a campus? Because most people come and this is the only real estate they see. They might trot down to the bathroom. Trot, what an implausible use of words there. Sorry. They might scamper down to the restroom. That's it. They don't know. People have never been in my office. They've never been in a secretary's office. They haven't been in a conference room, the library. They haven't been to Sunday school rooms back there. They come in here, and this is what they see, and they leave. But I got news for you. The 15 to 20,000 people drive up this road every day, they see all that stuff out there. When you drive by and you see the preacher out there picking up garbage, you see Brandon out there picking up garbage, it's because that's what people see when they ride by. We spend a lot of effort on the end of the curb down there because that's what people see. And the sign there, again, I can't tell you how many people have said, man, I love your new sign and I love that, because that's it. And we've got to do that. Why? Because that's their first opportunity to see us. First opportunity to see us. We're working through some things. We're going to put a spotlight on the flag out there. We're not embarrassed to be Americans, and we're going to try and rework some of the things with the brick sign as we go along in the year and make it more feasible and have twins, have good things on both sides or on both ends of the campus. And all. We do that on purpose. We have spent lots of time and lots of energy, and we pressure washed out here, and we clean the steeple, and we do all these things, and we're doing it. Why? Because we need to. It's important. A lot of places that they get out of whack about programs. They start doing something and then it goes on. We have a ladies ministry here, not blah, blah, blah. Why? To help our ladies, help our single ladies, help our married ladies, help them love Jesus and be better ladies. It's broad, not real specific. And what it's about is more important than what it's called. Everybody with me here? We want to reach our families. We want to have world-class, first-class Sunday morning stuff for our children. Why? Because we are surrounded by tens of thousands of children. It's important, and it's important to them. We want to do that. If that means something else is pushed back so we can do that, then that's because that's what's important. Everybody with me here? The writer says sometimes you kill your darlings. Again, we want to do this. We want to do the things and continue to do the things. We came, you know, nobody's left that was a part of that. They were on their way out. But our junior church room, how many of you have been back there and saw the little stage and seen the walls and you got the chalkboard on the chalk on the walls? Anybody seen that? It's just neat. When we came, and it wasn't anybody's fault, but we came, there was a huge metal desk in there, real sharp edges. Crazy heavy, like three grown men lift kind of heavy. Pale walls and like three or four storage units in there. I mean, huge storage units and big people chairs and desks, and it was like walking through a maze. And it just kind of collected through the years, and I kept trying to move stuff out, and then we ended up, and I didn't do it to hurt anybody's feelings. I didn't do it to make anybody mad. I didn't do it for any of those reasons. I did it because it was more that this is what it was. No, what it was is to train children about Jesus. Everybody with me? And so we kept moving and kept giving some stuff away and kept doing some things. Then we had a Christmas offering. We got that. And Mike Lawson helped us get the carpet for free. And it's Comcast paid for our carpet. That's the best thing Comcast ever done is give us that carpet. And we got that. And then the state taxes, I think, the treasury, there's one of their offices downtown. The stage is out of that carpet and the Comcast, the other carpet. And I'm thankful for those two people who don't have any, companies don't have any idea that they made things really pretty back there. We've got to be real careful here. We're focused on the mission, not the other. We're focused on just being inwardly focused on a budget. Our calendar comes before our budget. Our calendar comes before our budget. So why do you say that, preacher? Because this is what God has said for us to do, the mission. And there, from there comes the vision. Everybody with me? And so this is what we plan to do, and this is what God wants us to do, we think. And so that feeds into the budget. Most of the time, the budget, you just kind of, you know, add 2% or whatever and keep on going. No, we're going to make sure, because it's important. It's important. 400 to 450 people that we talked to at Community Fund Day last year. That's important to do. It's important to do. It's important to have a first-class website. It's important to do those things. It's important to keep doing some stuff. Now, that's not to neglect anything. But if all we do is sit around and eat and have fellowship, we haven't accomplished the mission of Christ, right? Fellowship is a part of it, but not the part of it. We have to be very careful here. I'm going quickly here. Six. In their survey, in the survey that they did, inordinate demands for pastoral care. Again, we don't have a lot of that here. I just hit it and run. I'm thankful. The other day I was out of town, could not be there. Brother Weiniger, Brother Kinder, Brother Wells were able to go and minister on my behalf, on the church's behalf. I say my behalf. I said that wrong. It is a responsibility. I pulled a brain cramp on Friday. I left my sermon at the house and ended up here just a few minutes after 12 and all. I wasn't worried. There was three ladies there who were just taking care of things. It wasn't all the preachers to do. Everybody understands if it all flows through me, then you'll get only what I can do, and I'm limited by time and space. Truth of the matter is, then you start to do these things. I have a friend, he quit setting church goals. He said, quit setting church goals. Why? He said, because instead of being the church's goals, they became the pastor's goals. And so he'd meet with his leadership and they'd go, well, how'd you do on this? And so he said, I'm done with it. I'm not setting any more church goals because you guys think it's all for me to do. He's not being ugly. He realized that it was a failure there. It was a failure there. Brandon Glaspie can pray with somebody who's having surgery like I can. That's not to obviate anything I'm to do or should do or want to do. I'm an overachiever. It's been a long time since I've been called lazy, and been a long time since I hadn't put in a big week. I'm there. Preach, I teach, counsel, whatever I need to do. But we grow that. I'll give you an easy example. There's no telling how many folks have been just completely energized and comforted and blessed by the ministry, the card ministry of Sister Gladys and the encouragement ministry. Excuse me. Of Miss Cindy, and people get that, and they hardly ever get the attaboy because they come up to me and say, preacher, I got the card from the church. And I just smile and say, you didn't get it from me. And it was these folks over here, and I blessed them and say, well, who are they? And I said, it was just two very young women. No, I don't say that. And I say, man, they've done this. They've done this on Christ's behalf. You can do that. You can do that. You can be a blessing to them. You can do those things. People say, you know, I'm entitled. You have to do this for me. You have to do this for me. You should do this. And I appreciate it. I mentioned it a time or two in the sermons the other day, but I appreciate because we're down a Sunday school teacher with the sudden departure of our teacher and his family, and I hate it that we don't have a younger middle-aged class and an older middle-aged class. That's the best way to say that. I hate it. But there's not one thing I can do about it. So we're all mashed together, and that's okay. And we'll figure it out. But you can go, man, I'm quit coming to the Sunday school. Well, that's not right. Nobody did anything to you. We just, it's where we are right now. It's where we are. That's okay. Okay, when we get stuck here, we get stuck in these kind of things. I want to say there. Number eight. When you're more worried about change than you are the gospel. Brother Weiniger is a, can I say this, Brother Weiniger? You don't know what I'm saying. Brother Weiniger is a comic book aficionado from days gone by. It's hysterical how many people lose their ever-loving minds when they change something in a fictional comic book. They'll say this is this, or they'll have an alternate timeline or something, and people lose their ever-loving nut. Go crazy. Grown people with jobs losing their mind because Batman's costume got changed. And it's just, I mean, petitions and people driving to New York and demanding to see this and that. It is unfortunate. Here's the deal. When we went to Three Rows, had people came in going, huh, well, where do I sit now? Now, wait for it. Now, they're being funny, but it didn't make a hill of beans where you sit. It doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter. It matters. It's nice we got a place to sit, amen? It's matter we got a place to sit. I'm not worried about me and mine. I told the story. I've told it several times here. I was helping out at a church when I was teaching the college. I'd been there as an interim. It was going to be the handoff. It was my last Sunday. The new pastor was coming. I wanted to present him with a stack of guest cards. We pushed our folks. I said, listen, let's have a big friend day. We're going to go crazy. Let's have friend day. And they hadn't done anything like that in a long, long time, if ever. And so they went nuts and all. And we had a businessman in the church. He said, Pastor, would you like some prizes? And I said, I'd love some prizes. He said, how about $400 gift cards to Walmart? And I thought, am I eligible? And so we had a, and I'm not much on giving out cash like that. But anyway, he wanted to do it, and I thought it was okay. And the folks were revved up. He didn't want any recognition. And so we had whoever brought the most visitors over so many for under 12, and then 12 to 20, and then 20 to whatever, and then over 50. And we had folks just went nuts. Just went nuts, man, inviting people, all this kind of thing. We had a family of 8 show up at the wrong church and called later on saying, hey, where were you at? And he's like, where were you at? He said, I went to your church. And no, you didn't. And he went to the church down the street. And so we sent some guests some other places here. We continue to send folks, by the way, to the Church of Christ up here with the same name. And people go, hey, I didn't see you there. Are you not there anymore? Yeah, I'm there. I was at my place. You were at the other place and all. And we kind of laughed about that. But they're there, and we were having a big day. We had big yeast roll, big yeast donuts. Some place in town did them and got, I don't know, 96 of them. I mean, it just, we had folks with labels and folks there, and we had a lady got there like an hour before the service started, and it was a hot day. It was right around Easter, and it was hot for that time of the year. So we cranked the air down because we were looking for, I don't know, we ended up 220-something. We doubled, more than doubled that day. And she got there early. We cranked it down because you got to crank it down to get ahead. So she's sitting there shivering. She's on her, I never forget, she's sitting over here. It's a shotgun-style church. She's sitting over here on the third row. It's one of those places that had plaques on the ends of the pews. And she's sitting there. Her folks had donated. She was in her late 60s, early 70s. She was sitting there just shivering, mad about the cold and mad she had to get there. And I asked her, is this what you're doing? She said, I want to make sure I got my seat, so I got here before all those other people come, because they won't be here next week. And it was about right there. Man, it got about right there on me. I walked off. She finally grabbed somebody, got them to turn the AC off, wait for it. And, of course, they turned it off for her. Everybody started coming in. You got 220 people in there, and they're used to having about 80, 100. And all of a sudden, and by the time the air caught up, was in the service, everybody walked out with blue lips. It was just a great service, and all. And we're worried about that. You mark it down. I'm worried about me and mine. They said there's another problem. Folks just get bent out of shape. People like to gossip. Anybody know? Anybody ever figure that out? They like to gossip and speculate. When somebody says, I don't know, but I think, I'm just as nervous as I can be. My belly just starts quivering because I know what's about to be said is a whopper. Anybody besides me? Well, I think that. Well, I wonder. Please don't. I love what my friend does. Somebody comes up to him and starts ratting, running their mouth about it. He just grabs his arm, big old guy, and got those crazy long meat hooks of fingers, you know. He grabs his arm and he says, okay, we're going to go to him and tell him what you said. He says, nobody gossips to him anymore, amen, because they're terrified. We be real careful. Because what you do is you do that, and then you get a little bitter, and then the bitterness, and then it all starts fueling. And everybody thinks you're a mind reader. And then if you're not real careful. Have to do this. Have to keep that. By the way, When people let that go on, anger feeds bitterness, bitterness feeds anger. It works both ways. When you have folks and there's something real big deal, and all you see is a little puff of smoke, or maybe it's a volcano. Long before it was a volcano, it was all boiling down here. It's all boiling down here. I'm not the example. I'm not. But I can tell you, I've left the house. I've left this building. If I thought it was serious, I've grabbed somebody to go with me. And I've done my best to never let it hit midnight. If I know somebody's been out of shape, I go handle it. I've gone to handle things that weren't anything to handle. I've gone to handle things people just looked at me and lied to me. But on our end, it was handled. Why? Because you let this stuff say, no big deal. One of the largest churches in Nashville 3.5 years ago imploded. Thousands of people, one little deal. What they didn't know was it was a bigger deal underneath. It was over nothing. I know people that attend that church. It was over nothing. Over nothing. And that church was, and that church is not. It closed in 6 weeks. Because of that right there. Because of that anger and hostility. There's a last thing there, and this is apathy. This is apathy. Apathy about being evangelist. Apathy about these things. It ought to be the biggest deal in our life to introduce people to Christ, to see them introduced to Christ, to invite people who don't know Christ, or we don't know that they know Christ. It ought to be the deal. Ought to be the deal. Buy business cards on the back of it. I've got links to Plan of Salvation. Invite people to this. We've had people we've talked to who have been here. We've had people that we've witnessed to. And by the way, sometimes it takes a little while. There was people here today, guests and all, that we have just tried to keep up with really since we have been here. We have been here, and it's taking that long, taking that time. And do that when I no longer bothers me. People live and die and are going to spend an eternity in an awful place called hell. There's something bad wrong somewhere with me. Let me flip it. And that means if lost people, unchurched people, people not right with God come, they're going to come with all their baggage. And they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to do, and that's okay. Okay. Because if they get to Christ, Jesus will change their life. That's what Philip wanted to do, right? Or see me, Andrew. Andrew, man, if I can just get them to Jesus. If I can just get them to Jesus. We have to be very careful here. What do we take our cues from? And I'm done. We take our cues from the mind of Christ. Take our cues from the mind of Christ. Tom Rainer said, this attitude should be representative and not remarkable. This attitude should be representative and not remarkable. Verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you're not careful, you'll miss that. God, Jesus humbles himself, and God says, and I'm going to exalt him. You have this amazing set of bookends here. He condescended, took on flesh, died in the most unbelievably horrible way imaginable, and God said, and I will exalt him. Now, the whole thing, by the way, is about being is not just about us being humble, but about his humility. If he can be humble, I can be humble. If I can go home a little miserable because I didn't like one little thing in the worship service, let me help you. The pastor doesn't like everything in the worship service, especially the stuff I have anything to do with. You know why we tape the announcements now? Does anybody know why we tape? Anybody want to guess why we tape the announcements now? Yes, frickin' frack. Why do we tape the announcements now? Because I talk too long. I talk too long. Because I love talking about vision. I love talking about what's next. I love getting excited. But when I take 15 minutes to give the announcements, guess what? That means either I got to talk really fast about the sermon, and I got people going, or we got to cut out a song somebody's prepared. And that always makes people happy. They practice all week, and I go, I talked too long about eating chicken. And, so guess what? We tape them, and plus we can put them online and stuff like that. You know, people who miss service can see what's going on. But we tape them. We do them like that because, you know what? It's 2 minutes now. It in 15. It in 12. It in 18. And if you watch it, you watch it. Just really inside baseball stuff here. But if I get up and do the announcements after the announcements, I got people giving me the look of death because they're going, where was he at? Didn't he understand? We just had, you know, but did you think we're stupid? And, and especially those two who've already recorded the announcements. You know, we do that. Why? Why? By the way, I don't care. I don't care. It looks professional. It's great. It's wonderful. Plus, it's 2 minutes instead of 12. You know, I'm going, now, and you need to go to the men's conference. Because I want everybody to decide right then to go, right? I'm going to push it. I don't, you know, somebody said, why do we print a bulletin? Because everybody reads it to us like we're all illiterate. And, it's like the bulletin for the blind. I'm like, I don't know why we do that. You know, but every church I go to gets up there and they read the bulletin to them. And we don't do that. We don't do that. Why? This is what it would be. Jesus did not want, he did not think that equality with God was something he ought to cling to. He took upon him the form of a servant. That word servant has been euthanized a little bit. It's a word slave. He became a slave. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. I went back and found this in Tom Rainer's book. I am a church member here. He's got this little place. Let me read it. Let it be our conclusion. I am a church member. Member is where I hang my hat, whatever you want to call it. I will not let church be about my preferences and desires. And again, time out. There's got to be certain where you're just comfortable. We don't do smoke machines. We don't have black lights. I typically don't do a lot of Rastafarian stuff in the service. I want to be doing things decently and in order. And I believe what we do should reflect the Scripture. Nod your head if you're with me here. I won't do it. That is self-serving. I'm here to serve others and to serve Christ. I think that is a great barometer. Most of our barometer is what? How did you enjoy whatever it was? I don't think that's a bad question, but that can't be the only question. What can I do for Christ? What can I do for others? My Savior went to a cross for me. I can put up with some inconvenience. I can put up with things that just aren't. I can do a little bit. And again, never been a conversation to go, well, you know, we're going to do this and it's going to really upset people. I don't think like that. I don't remotely think like that. If I got any clue about that, I'm saying, hey, we're gonna do this. We're going to do that. I'll give you a perfect example. Let me close. Whatever reason, the last Sunday of February has become like an international new hymn day. Not New Song Day, New Hymn Day. The Gettys are a beautiful hymn writing crew. They've been to Knoxville several times. They've written "Christ Alone," some other beautiful songs. They're Irish. They've got that Gaelic sound, and it's just if you want to look on YouTube and stuff, you can see some of their stuff and online. It's just beautiful, and they're modern hymn writers, very biblical, just beautiful stuff. Some of it's not the simplest to sing. It's a little hard to sing, but it's just beautiful. And they've kind of do it. We sang last year. They released a new one. We got to sing it. We were part of just hundreds and thousands of churches who sang this song. It was a missionary song. And they've kind of got that missionary song again this year. They've actually retooled an old song. And so I suggested, I said, can we do this? Yeah, now look right at preacher. Second, if I understand the Bible, I can say, I think, with authority, we're going to do this. I don't think I got to do this, and I don't. But I'm real glad to say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think? This would be a good idea? Because it ain't all about me. It is all about Him. Now, I've got responsibility, and I'm gonna give an account. I get all that, and it bugs me every so often I think about it. I'd much rather do that. And we're reaching this lost person, that lost person. By the way, and this lost person comes for several weeks, and we witness to them, and they're done for a while. Or maybe the second or third go around with them. I'm okay, because the best I can tell, if 60 to 80% of this area doesn't attend anywhere to church, that means there's at least a spiritual issue somewhere. At least a spiritual issue. And that means, you know, over there running about 1,500, over there running about 800, and up the road running about 1,500, and everybody else running a few hundred. That means there's a whole lot of fish in the water, and the fishing's pretty good. We need to be about our Father's business. And we come here and we rejoice, and then we go out there and we invite and we witness and we tug and we keep focused on what He's focused on. And that's the plan, amen? Not going to be about me. Not going to be about just my, it'll be about Him. And the default setting is going to be serve. Serve Him, serve others, be humble. Make much of Jesus. I think that's where we got to be. I think that's where we ought to be. And as long as I have anything to do with it, that's where we're going to stay. God's people say, amen. Pray with me. It's our dismissal prayer. As you're there, I started to invite us to forward tonight. Maybe just where you are. Just think that through. To be a servant. To serve.